Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
What would you do if you woke up this Saturday morning and there was no power? Well, you might take the day off. You might go out and play in the front yard with your kids. You might pull stuff from the freezer and figure out some way to cook it, or just drive to another town. But what happens if the power was out everywhere? What happens if, you know, you wake up, well, the first day's not too bad, second day is a little worse, third day is chaos and panic. You know, we've got as a guest today on Pirate Money Radio, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Tommy Waller, who's the CEO of the Center for Security Policy. He's been a good friend for a long time. He is one of the leaders in the Secure the Grid Coalition that is helping to make certain that our electric grid stays up. We had him on the television program, Economic War Room, just a few weeks ago. He flew out to see us, and there were such bad storms over Dallas-Fort Worth that his plane was severely delayed and 500,000 people lost power for quite a while. It's an uncomfortable thing to realize that you don't have power. Welcome, Tommy. Let's talk about what happens if the grid goes down.
Hey, Kevin. So, yeah, what happens if the grid goes down? That's it's actually a question that our enemies ask themselves all the time. And, you know, you have for a long period of time pointed Americans, rightly so, to Chinese philosophers like Sun Tzu, right, who said the supreme art of war is to subdue your enemies without fighting. And that's exactly how our adversaries can subdue this country, because what happens when the grid goes down is we lose the ability to function as a society, and our national security is extraordinarily adversely affected.
Well, let's start with that. Let's talk about that. You've been in the military. You have 2 decades experience. You've fought in multiple theaters. You know the military inside and out. You were in the reserves. What happens on a military base if the power goes out?
Well, it just depends where they get the power, right? And the reality is right now, Kevin, that more than 90% of our bases get their power from the civilian electric grid, and that civilian electric grid is extremely vulnerable to a lot of different threats, which I'm sure we'll get into in the discussion. But yeah, I mean, I was blessed to be invited to participate as a staff member of the U.S. Air Force Electromagnetic Defense Task Force. Lieutenant General Stephen Quast, a courageous Air Force officer who decided, you know, it was time to start being more aggressive about addressing the electromagnetic spectrum threats such as nuclear EMP to the military and to the civilian infrastructure that's vulnerable to it. And so I worked for a couple of years on and off as a reservist, right? So I worked for the Center for Security Policy as my civilian job, but I was asked to serve on an active duty capacity intermittently as part of this U.S. Air Force effort. And so one of the things that I tried to do was to get people in the military to think about the circumstances of going without power.
Lieutenant General Quast is a true patriot. He's retired from the military, but he's been a longtime friend. In fact, I attended both a session in Alabama and a session in Texas, in San Antonio, and got to participate in the unclassified version of that. And it's frightening. It's frightening that you have experts from around the world would fly in and say, yeah, our electric grid, it is vulnerable. It's not only just vulnerable to that, though, electromagnetic pulse, which would be a detonation of a thermonuclear weapon in space that would then radiate, I don't know the right term for it, but send gamma waves or whatever that would knock out the power grid. But it's also vulnerable to a physical attack, a cyber attack, or even the sun shooting solar flare at us.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, our adversaries have even used the supply chain, you know, manufacturing components for the grid that they can put hardware backdoors in, or cyber vulnerabilities. And in some cases, even our own unreasonable government policies may cause our grid to shut down even before an adversary or Mother Nature takes it out. But the reality is we depend on it for life as a society. Our national security infrastructure depends on it. Our civilian critical infrastructure, everything depends on electricity in a modern civilization. And so if we fail to protect it, then we are essentially spelling out our demise. Yeah. And so far, Kevin, that's what we've done, is we've failed.
I know. That's the bad news, is that the government has been informed and they have guilty knowledge because they've not done anything about it. It is in the military doctrine. You've got unrestricted warfare in front of you. It's written by two senior colonels of the People's Liberation Army over almost 25 years ago, I guess now, because it was published in 1999. So it was in January 1999. So they were writing this in 1998. So it's over 25 years old, and yet they talk about this. By the way, if you haven't seen a copy of this book, be careful when you go on the internet and you try and look for a PDF copy of it. Some of them have been infected with malware, so be careful with that. I bought my copy via Amazon, and I read it cover to cover probably 15, 20 years ago. It is a Chinese Unrestricted Warfare is the name of the doctrine. It was spirited out of the PLA bookstore by the CIA at the behest of Dana Rohrabacher, congressman, via his aide Al Santoli, tasked them. They took it to Panama, and they read this and translated it from Chinese into English and then published it. It was published in Panama because they don't have the same copyright protections. And I actually have the original copy, an original copy that Al Santoli gave me of it in Mandarin, which I have not read because I don't read Mandarin. However, it is a powerful book talking about how China has been for decades planning to displace America and replace us as the premier nation of the world, the sole superpower. But Tommy, could you read that section that includes EMP?
Yes. So this what the section includes is a whole host of, well, unrestricted warfare. And I would say for the listeners right now, what Kevin mentioned about the CIA translation, you can find it online. It's going to be at c4i.org. That's the CIA translation. And if you were to find it, you would find this on the section between pages 144 and 148. But it's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it out because I think it's important for listeners to hear, because this isn't the words of these colonels 25 years ago. And I want you to think as I'm reading this about the context right now that Christopher Wray, as a director of the FBI, has been saying flashing red lights are constantly flashing. This is their quote. Supposing a war broke out between two developed nations already possessing full information technology and relying upon traditional methods of operation, the attacking side would generally employ the modes of great depth, wide front, high strength, and three-dimensionality to launch a campaign assault against the enemy. Their method does not go beyond satellite reconnaissance, electronic countermeasures, large-scale air attacks, plus precision attacks, ground outflanking, amphibious landings, airdrops behind enemy lines. The result is not that the enemy nation proclaims defeat, but rather that one returns with his own spears and feathers. Okay, so they're kind of describing the United States and how we usually do war. Then they say this: however, by using the combination method, a completely different scenario and game can occur. If the attacking side secretly musters large amounts of capital without the enemy nation being aware of this at all and launches a sneak attack against its financial markets, then after causing a financial crisis, buries a computer virus and hacker detachment in the opponent's computer systems in advance, while at the same time carrying out a network attack against the enemy so that the civilian electricity network, traffic dispatching networks, financial transaction networks, telephone communications networks, and mass media networks are completely paralyzed. This will cause the enemy nation to fall into social panic, street riots, and political crisis.
All right, I want to point out that was written 25 years ago in the year 2008, which is now 16 years ago. There was a financial attack on our markets. I wrote about it in the book, A Secret Weapon. After that, and including that period, they began to infiltrate our computer networks. And now they're looking at the final blow, which would be street riots and political crisis. And what creates that is an attack on our civilian electricity network. We're talking with Tommy Waller about the threat to our grid from enemies, foreign and domestic. We'll talk about the domestic enemies in the next segment, but the foreign enemies could include China, could include Russia, it could include Iran or North Korea. And when we talk about Russia, keep in mind Vladimir Putin did attack the Ukrainian civilian electricity network as an act of war. What if they're planning to do that to the United States? Come back after the break and we'll start telling you solutions, what we can do about this. Join us after the break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, we've got a heavy topic today. We're talking about the risk to the electric grid. And the reason I bring this up is in 2021, Texas had a power failure and our grid failed. We called it Snowmageddon. That means we got a little bit of snow compared to what the Northeast or the upper Midwest or Northwest can get in snow. We got a little bit of snow, but it was sufficient to drain our power grid. So we didn't have solid electric power. People died. And Texas has been working ever since to try and shore up the vulnerabilities in the grid. But they have not been addressing this threat of a foreign enemy trying to take us down, or the threat of a cyber attack, or the threat of a physical attack, or the threat of the sun merely shooting off a solar flare. We're talking with Tommy Waller. He just read to us from Unrestricted Warfare. What if our enemy is the sun, Tommy? What happens there? Like, we had these northern lights as that you could see as far down as Alabama. What caused that, and what could that mean to our grid going forward in the future?
Sure. Yeah, Kevin, well, to your point about the state of Texas losing electricity due to cold weather, they actually did now address that threat. And to your point about all the rest of the threats, some utilities have started, and we can talk about some of them and some of the good things that they've done, but it hasn't been in an organized fashion the way it was after Winter Storm Uri. Texas led the country setting the example for how to address cold weather to electric infrastructure in the wake of Winter Storm Uri. They set a standard for protection. They mandated it. They provided financial incentives and penalties. And this was something that the rest of the country could learn from. To your question, though, what about solar weather? Because the state has not addressed that threat. And I'll tell you with 100% certainty that the federal government has also not addressed it, nor has the electric power industry. And so, you know, it's probably important for us to just kind of explain, when we say solar weather, like, what does that even mean? Like, people think, like, how is the sun going to take the grid down?
Does it rain on the sun?
You know, it's like, what is this weather we're talking about? So it's actually quite interesting. I'll try not to get too kind of geeked out on it, but when you say solar flare, that's the visual depiction of what's called a coronal mass ejection, right? So the sun discharges these highly charged particles into space, these magnetic particles that fly through space, happens all the time in all sorts of directions. Well, when it happens in such a way that the Earth connects with it in our orbit, the Earth has a magnetosphere. And that magnetosphere literally heaves and wobbles and moves when it's struck by this coronal mass ejection. Okay, why does that matter? A magnetosphere, anytime you move a magnetosphere, it creates electromagnetic energy. When you start your lawnmower, you go pull that cord, there's a magnet surrounded by copper wire. The movement between the two and the magnetosphere creates electromagnetic energy that travels down a wire to your spark plug. Well, the Earth, when it gets struck by this coronal mass ejection, its magnetosphere literally moves, heaves, and wobbles, and it induces these currents into the crust of the Earth deep, all the way down to the mantle. And what does electricity always want to do? Find the path of least resistance, right? So as these ground-induced currents move underneath our feet through the Earth, they're looking for least resistance. Well, when you go down a road and you see these gigantic transmission lines, what are those transmission lines doing? They're transporting high voltage electricity. Why is it high voltage? Because it's got to go over a long distance. High voltage, low resistance. So it senses that, and it passes right up through the transformers that are irreplaceable. These transformers, their lead time nowadays for some of these transformers is 4 to 6 years.
And who makes them? Where do they come from?
Predominantly made overseas, right? And so we can't afford to lose them. And so these currents will move up through the transformer, travel down these transmission lines, building up voltage and current as it moves, and then be induced into the other side. And it can cause catastrophic damage. And so we know this because it's happened. Like in 1989, the Hydro-Quebec storm, Quebec was blacked out for 9 hours, and there are transformers that were catastrophically ruined during this. And that was a very minor solar storm.
Now, have we had serious solar storms? What about the one in 1859, it looks like?
Yeah, so 1859, it's called the Carrington event, right? And at the time, all we had were telegraph machines, really. That was the only infrastructure we had. And I wish we had like a telegraph key that we could show people like how robust it is. I mean, it's metal and wood. It's not electronics, you know, it's not soft. Some of these things caught on fire, melted. The telegraph infrastructure was severely affected because what happened? It sensed that less resistance, that you know,
telegraph lines.
Right. And so what do we have today? We have fiber optic lines all across the earth underneath the ocean. Well, fiber optic is not it's not a problem for ground-induced currents, but guess what that fiber optic needs? It needs light boosters to keep the light going. Guess what that's connected to? Copper wire, right? So everything from fiber optic cables to our electric grid could be affected by this type of solar weather threat. But look, we can replace fiber optic cables if we needed to, or we cannot replace the entire grid in a short period of time. So, you know, when we saw just not long ago this solar storm that hit, you know, everybody was fascinated, as they should be. They see Aurora Borealis. What is that? You know, the Northern Lights. It's supposed to be in the north. They saw it all the way down in Louisiana. And it's beautiful and it's dangerous. That's the visual depiction of that electromagnetic energy striking the Earth's magnetosphere. But I'll tell you, Kevin, what was happening at that 12 to 24 hours before anyone even saw the visual effects of that storm, the neutral ground blockers, right? Because we just talked about, like, okay, there's this current comes into the transformers. There's a technology out there right now developed by a company called Imprimis called the solid ground, which can block that current. It just clamps right onto the neutral wire of that transformer. 12 to 24 hours before anyone saw any aurora borealis, those things started activating. There's three of them in the grid right now. There should be 7,000 for the whole country. They started activating. What that told us is that even the people who predict space weather had no idea what kind of effect it would have. And so if we don't, and what it turned out, Kevin, is that storm, it was a severe storm, the most severe in about 20 years, but it was still about 1/20th the size of the Carrington event, we think, right? There was no magnetometers in the earth back in 1859. It's kind of a guess, right?
Best guess.
Right. And so it was a close call. We know that the technology exists to protect against this threat. It's affordable. It works. It just needs to be installed.
Well, and you've been educating, and the Secure the Grid Coalition's been educating, and I actually covered it in my book, Game Plan, and I've given talks on this, and I've been with Michael DeRosso and others, electrical engineer experts, who said this is inevitable. NASA will say it's inevitable that we will have a repeat Carrington event. Lloyd's of London did risk studies and said it's inevitable, and that is where we have a sun who really doesn't hate us. How about right. If we have someone that's creating the same effect with a thermonuclear device, maybe in a satellite that orbits regularly over the United States? Nobody has that though, right?
Right. No, you're talking about nuclear EMP. And yeah, so nuclear EMP, we don't need to get into all of the different parts of the pulse, but there's one component of that pulse where that nuclear detonation, it reacts with the Earth's magnetosphere the same way as the coronal mass ejection from the sun, right? That same ground-induced current that we just talked about that comes from the sun, that comes from a nuclear EMP attack. And it can also be mitigated with the same technology that we just spoke about. And so it's critical that we protect ahead of time, because even if we can deter a nuclear EMP attack, we can't deter the sun. And so the good news about it is a fixable problem. We just have to have the will to fix it.
Yep. Well, and we know this because we actually did nuclear testing, what was it, in the 50s? Was it in the 50s or
in
late 60s? 40s?
Yeah, 60s. Well, so you know, as soon as we started doing any, and this is kind of interesting. I mean, listeners, I don't want to get too geeked out on it, but the first nuclear tests that we did were on the ground, right? And so they used to build these cities out in the desert, mock cities, and then they would connect them. They'd have all the regular civilian infrastructure, right? So you got one town over here, you got power lines in between towns, transmission lines, and they're nuking these fake towns, right? Yeah. And what they found was that any wire that touched that fireball would be massively electrified. It was called source region EMP. They discovered it. This is in the 50s, right? And so they hypothesized, well, what would happen in space if we launched one of these in space? Like, would there were scientists and physicists that thought, you know, it probably would produce a similar electromagnetic effect. They had no idea how strong it would be. When they did these testing in 1962, most of the test equipment was ruined. They tested it about 800-900 miles from Hawaii. It's a test called Starfish Prime, and people can look it up and you can read all about it. But it shut the lights off in Hawaii. It caused all sorts of infrastructure damage, and that's 800 or 900 miles away from a populated, you know, place. Well, the Soviets did the same thing, and guess where they tested it? They tested it over Kazakhstan, over a populated area that had an electric grid. It absolutely fried the electric grid. Why did they do that? They tested it at the exact geomagnetic latitude and longitude of Washington, D.C. on the other side of the earth. Mm. And thank God we got the data from those tests from the Soviets when they defected after the collapse of the Soviet Union. The Congressional EMP Commission brought that to Congress, to the government, and said, look, here's the data. I mean, I know we're like doing radio right now. People can't see this, but I have shown our U.S. Secretary of Energy, I've shown even the governor of Texas, this is what they found. The types of ground-induced currents from that test in Kazakhstan versus the level of protection. If you follow the federal government standard, you can't even compare. I mean, you're so
virtually vulnerable. No protection.
No protection. That's right. No protection. Yeah. So we are vulnerable.
And during World War II, we were preparing. They made a whole movie about Oppenheimer and a Manhattan type project and how they developed the nuclear. They did some of the desert testing that you're talking about, and that's where we've gotten some of this data. That was an unexpected finding, but they found out that you could wipe out electric. Can you imagine this, where you can keep all the infrastructure in place? You're not directly killing anyone, but you wipe out the electronics capabilities and you take a society back 200 years in development.
That's right. And when the Congressional EMP Commission studied this, what they suggested is that we would lose in the first year 90% of our population to starvation and all the disease, societal collapse. And honestly, how they got that number was relatively simple, where they just took, what was the number of people that lived in the U.S. pre-electricity? It was about 30 million people. So, okay, that's about 10% of our current population. So, we'll probably lose 90%, except that 10% back then knew how to live without electricity.
Yeah, it's not hard to imagine if you can't get your medicine, you can't get water, if you can't get food, if you can't get gasoline out of a pump so you could drive somewhere else, you're kind of stuck and society collapses. There's a book, One Second After, written by William Fortune that explains that. But we don't have to be entirely dire in this. There are brilliant people that have been working on solutions to this problem, but it's going to take some political will. It's going to take the American people saying, hey, the legitimate role of government is to protect me, to protect my family, to protect our property. There aren't many legitimate roles of government for some, but this is one of them, absolutely. So here at Pirate Money Radio, we're talking about protecting liberty, security, and values. It's hard to do that if we don't have a working electric power grid. We'll be right back after a break, and we'll come up with some solutions to this serious problem.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, this Saturday, we're talking about some hard things, but we don't want to give you a spirit of fear. First Timothy is very clear. It tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And that's our intention here. But Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12 both say the same thing. It says, a wise person sees trouble coming and prepares for it. A fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. We don't want to be foolish here in America. We want to be prepared for some risks that we see out there, especially if they're dire risks. Like the loss of electric grid, which could result in the loss of 90% of the population. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe it's more than actually would die. It doesn't matter. It would be a severe loss, far worse than 9/11, far worse than a world war even. So we've got to prepare for the eventuality of a mass coronal ejection, a solar flare that strikes the Earth, hits and creates a natural EMP that would wipe out an electric grid. How do we do that? How do we prepare for that? Well, we're talking with a guest, Tommy Waller. He's a retired Marine, Lieutenant Colonel Tommy Waller, but he also is, in his civilian job, the CEO of the Center for Security Policy, one of the leading groups that's been addressing this. Hey, Tommy, how can people learn more about Center for Security Policy and the Secure the Grid Coalition?
Sure, yeah. So centerforsecuritypolicy.org, that's our website. You go there, there's a section on infrastructure security. When you click on that, it's going to cover this topic, all infrastructures, but we have a specific real significant focus on the grid because, of course, all the rest of them rely on the grid. And yeah, the coalition, you know, our founder, Frank Gaffney, put the coalition together. You've been part of it for years in an effort to wake the American people up, but then also identify all the solutions necessary to protect the grid against all hazards. And so it's a pretty awesome opportunity that, you know, we do, you know, weekly conference calls every Friday, and we're constantly discovering new companies with new technologies and procedures and solutions to protect the grid. And then, of course, we serve the public interest to be able to shape policies to protect the grid. And I should mention, the Center for Security Policy receives no funding from the government, from any foreign sources, or any company that could profit off of the recommendations we make, right? So we don't take money from the utilities. We don't take money from companies that can profit off of it. We literally depend on the donations from just the generosity of the American people. We exist for the public interest. And that actually helps a lot when it's time to brief politicians and policymakers. They know that there's no hidden agenda. We're here for the people.
Yeah, no, I love that. In fact, we do the same thing at Pirate Money Radio. We've been talking about solutions to the monetary problem, and the solution to the monetary problem, we believe, is an optional gold and silver standard. But we don't work for a gold company. We have no financial ties to any gold company or anybody else. In fact, we don't take on our for-profit television show, we don't take gold sponsors, which are the primary sponsors of conservatives these days. You know, you have a gold sponsor. We don't take them because we want to be above board, not be subject to criticism. And right. The critical thing that I think needs to happen, the solutions are there. They're coming up. I mean, I've watched over the years I've been involved in this, and you've got these grounding capabilities and everything else that can mitigate against electromagnetic pulse or against a mass coronal ejection. But we need political will. We need the American people to stand up and say, hey, this is a threat. Government, protect us against the threat. Now, you've told me that there are people in the utility industry that are embracing these solutions, and that's great news. But there are some that aren't, that are stuck in the mud in some way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so fortunately in the state of Texas, you have some of the preeminent leaders in coming up with those solutions. CenterPoint Energy, for example, came up with an incredible technology to protect against the E1 part of a nuclear EMP, right, for their substations. And they did that after they saw legislation in the Texas legislature, you know, five sessions ago that might require them to do it. That innovation kind of came with a little bit of pressure, right? So we apply the pressure on the policy side, and then all of a sudden the innovation comes.
That's pretty cool, because Frank Gaffney and I went to that first session. Senator Hall had us in as expert witnesses and testified at that first session. And you're telling me CenterPoint responded and addressed it.
They did, yeah. And then they did it quietly, you know, kind of behind the scenes. They started figuring out how to fix it. And so they really should be credited for that. But you testified, Frank testified, and we were all disappointed. We've been disappointed that every session it seems that these bills just die, right? And that's because they're lobbied against. Traditionally, they're lobbied against by the utility industry writ large, at the federal level, at the state level. I mean, I'm the guy that's going to fly around the country and testify in these places, and so I witness it firsthand. But, you know, Texas has a unique opportunity because of what Winter Storm Uri did. Again, it was a tragedy, but it caused the people of Texas to wake up, and the utility industry and the regulators. And the path they established for the protection against cold weather, they can now use that same path with these other threat vectors. But you know, Kevin, your listeners should know that right now there's an effort underway by some in the federal government, some in Congress, to actually bring Texas under federal control.
And I'm not in favor of that as a Texan. I don't think that's a very good idea.
Neither we, because the reality is the federal government's failed to protect the grid against all of these hazards, okay? And so right now, Texas has the opportunity to lead with its own utilities that have innovative solutions, with its own state government establishing standards. And thankfully, one bill that did pass last session, and this was one that the utility industry supported, was a bill that allows utilities to get what's called cost recovery for putting together resiliency plans. It's all about money, right? And I mean, I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
So it's all about money.
As you say that, you know, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. But I'll tell you, Patriot Mobile would not be happy if the electric grid went down because their business vanishes. Towers, no communications, no capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, every business vanishes without electricity. And I will go ahead. We're not sponsored by Patriot Mobile, but I will tell you that both of my devices are Patriot Mobile device. I have never witnessed better customer service than any other company.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. I'm glad that they're helping us here. But Tommy, let's talk. Let's talk this electric grid. There are solutions if we have the political will. That's what's required is the political will. How do we get the political will?
Yeah, so the way that we got the political will after Winter Storm Uri was unfortunately a lot of death and suffering. Right now, we don't want that to happen. A solar storm that would take the grid down, we may not come back from. We've got to do it on the front end.
And it's going to require education. How do we educate people?
I'm so happy to tell you that there's a new mechanism to do that. David Tice, the producer quite a few films, Soul Surfer, one of them, has created a documentary narrated by a celebrity, Dennis Quaid, called Grid Down, Power Up. And this is now, in my estimation, probably the single most valuable education tool out there for people to be able to become very quickly educated about the problem and the solutions, and not only educated, but actually given the tools that they need to advocate on behalf of all of us for grid security.
Producer Rich, do you have the trailer for Grid Down, Power Up? Electricity changed our world. It is vital to our everyday life. But what happens when our world goes dark?
The electricity grid goes down. You're back in the 1880s, pre-electricity.
If 1,000 transformers are knocked out, we'll end up with massive social disruption.
Top former energy official claims an attack on an American power grid was terrorism.
This is real.
Virtually every study you'll see has an anarchistic component that leads to rioting. It is almost inevitable.
Imagine what will happen if there is no food, no power, and no money, and no transportation. Only people with guns and the boldness to go and take what they need to survive will live.
It could literally end civilization as we know it.
This could be our end.
Cyber attack, an EMP, even a massive solar flare. They're all capable of exposing our power grid as America's Achilles heel.
Of particular concern to me are people who believe it's God's will to destroy us.
Our electric power grids are as vulnerable to cyber attack as the thousands upon thousands of businesses, companies, government agencies that have already been hacked over the last few months.
It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when.
We can prevent it.
We spend $800 billion on our military,
and we're not willing to spend $50 to $100 billion to protect our society?
An EMP pulse is a very dangerous threat. If you're not nuclear hardened, it will shut down any digital computer that is operating in the range of the EMP.
Before it's too late.
Other countries have appointed a single champion to be in charge of protecting their electric grids.
We know what needs to be done. It's just a matter of a will to do it.
Grid Down, Power Up with Dennis Quaid.
Choose Power Up, not Grid Down.
That's it. It's a beautiful film. I've seen it. Some of it was filmed in our Economic War Room studio. Senator Bob Hall was filmed there. It really is amazing education piece. It's easy to watch. It's hard to see. Easy to watch, meaning it's well done. It's entertaining. It's fast paced. It's beautiful as it's filmed, but it's hard to see because you realize we're not doing anything to protect the grid.
Well, we haven't been doing enough. And so what the movie thankfully has done is it has caused that a movement to start. And look, with David Tice and Dennis Quaid involved, we have made so much progress in such little time beginning that process of starting a movement. And so, I just couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah, the whole Secure the Grid Coalition is proud of this movie, I believe. And David's done an incredible job. He did this. He was the executive producer of the Soul Surfer movie. If you saw that, that also had Dennis Quaid and Kevin Sorbo and Helen Hunt. It was, you know, really quality, fictional, but true story, based on a true story. It's a beautiful film. We've got the opportunity to meet with David Tice in our fourth segment. Tommy, thank you so much for being a part of Pirate Money Radio. You're a true patriot, you're a dear friend, and you're a brilliant man. Thank you so much for the incredible work that you've done with the Centers for Security Policy and the Secure the Grid Coalition.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, Kevin.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we just had the opportunity to talk with retired Lieutenant Colonel from the Marines, Tommy Waller, who is a real leader in the Secure the Grid Coalition. He's the CEO of the Center for Security Policy. And I asked him, what is the most important thing we can do? I mean, as citizens, how can we deal with the threat that we might have to the power grid? And his answer was, we've got to get educated, and then we've got to stand up and demand action. And then he pointed to a new movie that's out featuring Dennis Quaid. It's called Grid Down, Power Up. And the producer of that movie is a friend, a mutual friend, David Tice. And we brought David into Pirate Money Radio to talk about the film, how we got there, you know, tell us a little inside story of Dennis Quaid and, you know, David, welcome to Pirate Money Radio.
So glad to be with you and your listeners, Kevin.
Well, what brought you to make a film? I mean, the past films that you've made have been family entertainment, and they were very profitable. Here's a film that can be found on YouTube for free. You're not making any. I know you poured your heart, soul, and financial future into this film, and yet you're basically giving away the education. Why have you done that?
Well, I want to make America a better place, and I feel really strongly. I realized I was a NASA grandfather. I realized a couple of years ago that my grandkids were 4, 3, 2, 1. Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem if we do not better protect our power grid, because then they're not going to be able to live the same great, productive, happy life that I lived. And I've been worried about the power grid going out. And really, this was a God thing, that I was guided by God to this film that was partially complete. And I love low-hanging fruit. And therefore, I saw this film and the ability to make a difference, and I made it happen.
Well, I've watched you slave over it. I've watched you get the world's leading experts, and then you went and got one of my, you know, if I were going to be a fanboy of a movie star, I would definitely put Dennis Quaid near the top of that. I love Parent Trap. I love The Rookie, two of my, one favorite family film to watch with my kids, and then The Rookie is just a truly inspirational movie based on a true story of the oldest rookie who went back into baseball. And Dennis did such an amazing job in that. I mean, I've watched him for years, and you got him as your narrator.
Well, he's ended up being a friend. I was involved with Soul Surfer. I financed that movie. I was on the script every day. Ended up playing a dice game with him and just having fun. And a decade later, after that movie, I reached out to him about this cause, and he believed in the cause and wanted to help out. And therefore, again, he has been a phenomenal patriot. He's been to Washington, D.C., to the Capitol with me, to the Austin Capitol. He is schmoozing with staffers and having his picture taken. And arguing for better grid security.
Well, you know, talk about an easy way into Governor Abbott's office or in anything in D.C. is, you know, I've got Dennis Quaid with me. I mean, because who's going to turn down, you know, maybe the nicest guy at show business? He's gonna, of course, going to come in and, I'll listen to you. You can brief me, but can I have your autograph and get a picture? I mean, a brilliant move on your part, David.
Well, thank you. And so Tommy Waller, who is this on, who is a phenomenal patriot, and what he does with his organization, Secure the Get Red Coalition, he calls Dennis Quaid the breacher because he essentially does open, he breaks down doors.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So how can people see the movie Grid Down, Power Up?
So they can see it on YouTube. They can also see it on Salem Now. But you can go to our website at griddownpowerup.com. And something powerful we have there is the ability to send emails and make phone calls to your legislators, your regulators, members of board of directors of your public utilities. Wake them up. Tell them that we have to do something. We essentially need enraged mama bears and soccer dads to go out and tell these policymakers and decision makers, we need to get something more done.
You know, this is what we try and do here. Right? You can turn on other radio programs. They're conservative, and I respect them, conservative media, and they're going to go out and they're going to say, here are the problems, and scare you. Not here. We don't want to give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gives us. It's in 1 Timothy. But we do want to follow the admonition of Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12. Both say the same thing. It says, a wise person sees trouble coming and prepares for it. A fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You, in your home, you can't do anything to protect the grid singularly. You really can't. You can't say, okay, I'm going to show up at the transformers that could be wiped out and I'm going to jigger with them. You'll be arrested. You'll be thrown in jail. Don't try and do that. Don't try this at home. But what you can do is you can help America develop the political will. There are solutions already in place. And that's why this movie, Grid Down, Power Up, is so powerful. It's a tool. It's a weapon to be placed in your hands. We talk about the Dunkirk situation where, you know, Winston Churchill woke up and, you know, became prime minister. And the next thing you know is the entire British Expeditionary Force is trapped on the beaches of a French beach town in Dunkirk. And you know, what do you do about that? Well, what you had to do is you had to rile up the civilian population. They got their little ships and they went one by one, little ships carrying and bringing people home. And there were three miracles that happened there. You ought to read the book by David Gardner, A Trumpet Sounds for Britain. It describes the three miracle steps that happened. But the bottom line is they got them home and it took the little ships. And you, listeners, are the little ships. You can take this movie, Grid Down, Power Up. You can watch it, you can share it, and then you can take action based on it. Tell us what happens when you send one of those emails using that Align Act campaign that's on.
Well, essentially just add your home address. If you click see your mouse, and we have pre-written letters, you can add to those letters your own thoughts. They end up getting to your state legislators, your congressperson, your U.S. senator, as well as your NERC and FERC regulators, as well as your chairman of your state's PUC. And again, we have the phone call facility. If you're hooked up to Skype or, you know, a phone facility, you can actually get into each of your senators, congressmen's voicemail or talk to the receptionist and let them know that you care about the grid.
Look, now we're not advocating anything other than liberty, security, and values here, but I do believe that there is a serious threat to the power grid. I do believe that if you get educated on it and you watch the movie, and you can watch the movie for free, you can find more information at griddownpowerup.com, and if you feel that that's what you want to do and you want to take action, I'm not telling you to take action, I'm encouraging people to get more information if they want to get more information. And then if they want to take action, the tools are there. But I am congratulating David Tice on being an individual, a patriot, somebody that poured his own life, fortune, and sacred honor into producing a film. I mean, this is a guy that has really stepped up as a patriot to make a difference in the world. So what motivates you, David? What you mentioned the 4-3-2-1, the NASA grandpa or whatever, but What gives you hope? Why do you do this? What is your inner motivation?
My motivation is to make the world a better place. I was taught that by my parents and by God to, if you have an opportunity to make the world better and you're put in a position, you can make something happen, let's do it. And I feel like there is, it ticks me off that there is the capability that exists. And I'm more of a dot connector. I've connected the dots about the great risk and then the great capabilities that we have with new technology. And for not that much money, we can protect the grid and make ourselves safer. It's ridiculous we don't do this.
Well, speaking of dot connectors, number one, I know you're a believer. I know you're a Christian. Number two, I know your history. Before I even met you, I knew that you had run the Prudent Bear Fund and you'd connected the dots on fragility in our stock market and financial system, and that you'd found a way to invest based on that, and you sold that fund after the market collapse. But you connected dots throughout your entire career, and here you're connecting a dot about a risk that we face, and then you're giving people, if they're interested, a place to learn more and then a place to take action once they have learned more, if they want to. Again, we don't push anything, we're not recommending anything, except that we ought to be Christians. Proverbs 22:3 or 27:12, if we see trouble coming, we should prepare for it, not be fools and go blindly on.
Exactly. And your listeners are so lucky, Kevin, to have Pirate Radio for what you and your whole team do.
Well, Pirate Money Radio, we're dedicated to liberty, security, and values. And I tell you, when people want to talk to us about economics, one of the things about economics that's essential is making certain that we have an electric grid so our computers work, our phones work, our entertainment, television, but also our automobiles can pump up with gasoline or maybe electric cars. Life as we know it is better with an electric grid than it was without an electric grid. In fact, there may be, for many people, if they can't get their medicines, if you're a diabetic, for example, and you need insulin and you can't get that delivered, this is existential, isn't it?
It really is. And again, if you're interested, go to our website, griddownpowerup.com. Watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, and you'll get to see Dennis Quaid narrate. He's got that very distinctive, powerful Texas voice. I love his voice, and get to watch a beautifully made film. And the filmmaker here, David Tice, is a believer. He understands what you understand. He's motivated by the right motivations. He loves his family. He wants to see a great future for the world. This is an opportunity for Pirate Money Radio listeners to learn more on an interesting subject. I know it's Saturday. Go outside. Maybe it's beautiful outside. Maybe there, where you are, maybe there are storms or whatever. But life is better when you can walk in, flip on the air conditioning in the heat of the summer and enjoy the cool air where you can get good food. You can go out to eat. Life is better with electricity. I guess I sound like an advocate for the utility industry. Thank you, David, for being part of Pirate Money Radio. And you listeners, this is our opportunity to make the world a little better place. Go forth, enjoy, bless one another. God bless you.